Good morning, Shelbyville Church. I'd like to welcome you and any of those who might be on the internet this morning. I don't know if we're recording for the radio station or not, but a lot of times we record those and then reschedule it for another time on the radio. So we just want to welcome everyone here this morning and happy Sabbath. St. Francis of Assisi once day said to several of his followers, "Let us go to the village over the way and preach." As they went, they met a humble traveler who was greatly burdened, but Francis was in no hurry and listened carefully to his story of woe. When they reached the village, Francis talked with the shopkeepers, spent time with the farmers in their fruit and vegetable stalls, and played with the children in the street. On the way back, they met a farmer with a load of hay, and Francis spent time with him. The morning spent, the group reached the monastery from where they had set out early that morning, and one of the followers, who was greatly disappointed, said to Francis, "Brother Francis, you said we were going to preach. This morning is spent, and no sermon has been given." Francis replied calmly, "But I have preached and been preaching all the way." Many Christians are like that follower. They hear the sermon or see the flashy Christian religious act, but completely miss the importance of living in the Spirit like Jesus did. We need to remember that Christ's ministry involves more than his teaching, his healing, and sacrifice in the past. Let's ask ourselves this morning, am I aware of how much Jesus ministers in my life today? And why do I ask that? There is a tendency to separate what happened back when Jesus was on earth from what is happening in our life today. So today I would like you to take notice of how Jesus giving up his life for us continues far beyond the cross. To do that, if you would, open your Bibles to Mark, the 10th chapter. Most of us are familiar with the story of how the disciples, James and John, would try to sneak one over on the other disciples and ask Jesus, when he came in his glory, that they might set one on the right hand and the other on the left. Other gospel passages even indicate that they got their mother in the act on their behalf. What I like about this story is that when the ten heard about it, they became greatly displeased with James and John. And then Jesus teaches a lesson, a moral to the story. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those to whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all." Let's stop right there for a minute before we read that last verse. What did James and John need to learn? Jesus showed that the glory is more than power and possession. Greatness is not a one-time accomplishment or a status or a position. It's a whole way of living. In fact, it's an attitude of service, and that's what Jesus has. Mark 10:45, to finish our scripture reading, says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Later, when Jesus prayed before his death, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified in you," John 17:1. What was he talking about? He wasn't talking about power and position. I believe he was talking about the cross. Jesus' glory was to die for lost sinners. It is so opposite of what the world thinks today. To the world, glory means having power, riches, and status, being above others. But to the King of the universe, glory has to do with sharing love and giving of yourself. It is healing and serving those in need, in humility and respect. And this morning, I want to share with you from the story of redemption. This came from our Ellen G. White notes on this lesson this week. It says, "The days of man were shortened by his own course of sin and transgression, the righteous law of God." This is talking about Adam. "The race was finally so greatly depreciated that they appeared inferior and almost valueless. They were greatly incompetent to appreciate the mystery of Calvary, the grand and elevated facts of the atonement and the plan of salvation became of the indulgence of the carnal mind. Yet notwithstanding the weakness and enfeebled mental, moral, and physical powers of the human race, Christ, true to the purpose in which he had left heaven, continues his interest in the feeble, depreciated, degenerate specimens of humanity, and invites them to hide their weakness and great deficiencies in him. If they will come unto him, he will supply all their needs." That's a story of redemption, pages 48 and 49. And I have one more quote from you. It's from Steps to Christ, page 82 or 52. "Some seem to feel that they must be on probation and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim his blessings. But they may claim his blessings of God even now. They must have his grace, his Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, sinful, helpless, dependent. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity." I especially love that last sentence. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus giving up his life is not just an event long ago. He wants to heal and to cleanse us even now. Jesus' glory was to humble himself in love and to die for you and me. Today, it is Jesus' glory to continue the same giving attitude as he revealed on the cross. God's word offers to us this very moment in Jesus, a sacrificial God, a living God, a friendly, caring, and loving God. One who is humble enough to listen to our prayers and even spend time with us, though he is the ruler of the universe. Jesus is ready in a moment's notice to hear and respond to our needs for forgiveness, love, help, and cleansing. Do you need God's healing today? Do you want God's healing today? This morning, will you let Jesus make a difference in your life? Today, we will share the emblems of Jesus' sacrifice for each one of us. It's now time to separate for the ordinance of humility. The ladies will gather in the fellowship hall through this door to the left, and the men will gather in the center classroom through this door to the right. We will meet back out here in a few minutes. When we return, please sit in the pews that have the cup holders in front of you. Some of you might take notice. This will allow the deacons to better serve you as they pass the trays. Adventists practice an open communion, so we invite our visitors to participate if they want to do so.